Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That was the message of the angels, the song of the angels. Sometime before this, the prophet Zechariah was asked a question by the Jews as they had returned from Babylon. God gave the answer. The people had been marking a certain day every year because of certain sad and distressing things that had happened in their history, such as the destruction of Jerusalem. And they asked the prophet if they should carry on fasting to show their sorrow over those events. Should they carry it on now that they were back in Jerusalem? And as so often, in answer to their question, God asked them a question. A question they needed to answer. It has struck me that they were asking about fasting. It only needs one more letter to make it feasting. But that apart, it is, I believe, the same question that we need to hear ourselves about everything that we do, and certainly about the things that are going on, the things we may be doing ourselves at this time of year. It's a question that should be asked by, or is being asked, I believe, by God, of a wide range of people who think that they are doing the Christmas thing, the things that go on at Christmas. God's question to them was this: when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, there were two events that they were commemorating, during those 70 years, from this question, did you really fast for me? For me. In a sense, if you can answer the question whom you are doing it for, it may help you to know how long you should be doing it. And then he follows with a possible alternative explanation. When you eat and when you drink, notice, not fasting anymore, but when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? The first part, are you doing it for me? Second part, are you doing it for yourselves? Now this time of year is rarely noted for its fasting, isn't it? Whatever it is that you do, or that the crowds around you do at Christmas, whether it's feasting, or fasting in the sense of avoiding it all, or what you like to think of as a happy medium, ask this question of yourself. Or open it there, in Zechariah 7, if you go home and read it. Open it there, and let God ask you the question. Are you doing whatever you're doing for me, God, or for yourself? As I say a moment ago, it ought to be faced whatever we're doing. And I sense that implication in God's issue with the Jews in Zechariah there. But so much more when there is some supposed special occasion of God's work amongst men. What are we to do about Christmas? If I look around, we are probably in this kind of setting where most of us would say, no, Christmas is not really all about the presents or the big meal. We'd go along with that. But what should we do? What should you do? Do you just ignore it? Do you deny it? Do you just go along with the rest? Or should we perhaps, what you might say, finesse it? Get the nuance of it. Maybe completely unexpected. I suspect it will be. But it needs to be well thought through. And I talk about it because there is this connection made by so many. The many people who do go to church on Tuesday this week, who never go otherwise, except perhaps in April at Easter, there is some connection being made by so many with the birth of Jesus. And I would take your attention to that in attempting to find an answer to that question. Pay attention to the birth of Christ Jesus through the angel's announcement of him. In these words, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is what men need to know about Christmas. And I would look at first at glory and peace, and then to turn them around and look at peace and glory. And I'll endeavor to explain. Glory and peace, first of all. If you look at this incident, there were the angels speaking to the shepherds. And it was certainly not that the shepherds had paid admission, they got themselves settled down for the evening, and then they said, let the show begin. It was an angel, by definition, a messenger from God, an angel who had come to speak from God to man. It was God's initiative. And as such, the angel spoke, and he spoke first of glory to God in the highest. This is a reminder to us today again. This is most definitely where all men must begin in our thinking. A very timely reminder. It was a perfect foundation for a meaningful communication from God to men. Take the Old Testament prophets who so often opened their words with, thus says the Lord of hosts, glory to God in the highest. Who is it you must listen to? It was in this way that the shepherds were summoned to pay good attention to the message. This message in the end of peace on earth. Because the glory of God, God in the highest, is the only possible foundation for such a message. From God in his glory, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Or we might say, and perhaps a somewhat better translation, is peace on earth among men of his good pleasure, or with whom he is pleased. Goodwill toward men does speak of that as well, of course, but it is a little plainer, perhaps. Here is a reminder that men, on our own, can never achieve peace even with each other. You know what it's like. There's always even the peacemaker in the dispute, and he or she thinks they know better. Only they'll be picked up on something as well. If we can't achieve peace amongst ourselves, far less can we gain peace towards our God. And remember too, we're speaking of the God over all men, although we know so many wish to deny that. And it is, therefore, a reminder, as the angels indicate, that it is God's doing, God's work, God's initiative. I remember too that Peter wrote, he spoke about Jesus and the things of salvation in Jesus, and he said, these are things which angels desire to look into. The angels are here bringing the news that salvation has come amongst men. And they first speak of the glory of God. They speak of the glory of God now to be seen amongst men, so that there will be peace brought to us. The angels do announce peace, don't they? Peace to men. That's a peace to all those with whom God is pleased. Those who are under the goodwill of God. Once again, we are reminded that this is in God's hands. It's God's prerogative. It's to drive home the point to us, I believe, this morning. Start from God's glory. You depend on him for your peace. You depend on Him by His good pleasure. I have used a title, I haven't referred to it yet, but it is that we all need Christmas. Christmas in the sense of the birth of Jesus. This Christmas message, glory to God in the highest, and from God to those of His good pleasure He grants peace, this is a deeply humbling message. Put it bluntly, it puts us where we belong, as those who must depend on His grace alone. We all, every one of us in this room, believer, unbeliever, everyone in this world needs to be humbled before God to find peace with Him. It also strikes me that there is one thing that is announced by these angels with the coming of the Son of God amongst men. The one thing they announce, yes, the first angel announces this birth of the Savior, the Christ the Lord. How are we to understand that? In the words of the multitude of angels, on earth peace. The one thing that God proclaims to man in the coming of His Son is peace. Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 3, peace of God to which you were called. Not health, not wealth, not even a quiet life, but peace. No, that's not a contradiction. It's about peace with God. It's peace from God, peace by His good pleasure. It is peace with God that's in view here. And that is the deepest need of all men. Only to be found, as I said a moment ago, by humbly approaching the hand of God that He might give it. On earth, peace. Isaiah announced that the Son who would be given unto us, in chapter 9, perhaps you know the words, that He would be the Prince of Peace. This would be His rule, a rule of peace. As the angel proclaims it again now, as the Son has come, He is telling us that here is something of substance. Something that is bound up is to be found in the One who had been given to men to live forevermore. It is a peace that endures. And for that, if nothing else, though it is so much more, an enduring peace is that peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And so the angels proclaim the glory of God and peace from God unto men. But why is this important? Why and how such peace that is announced with the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Christ, how is it achieved? Why is it that this meets the deepest and the most common need of all men? Let me remind you something you should know. Something every man should know. Something your colleague should know as they celebrate Christmas in some way. We need God's peace unto us because of that innate opposition of man to God. That's why the reason why it has to begin with God. There is quite the opposite of peace from your heart towards God. Even if you are a believer, there is still trace of that opposition. Disharmony. But if we're to have any hope of meeting God, if we're to have any hope of living with Him, rather than being, yes, rejected by Him, we must have harmony. We must be in tune with Him. It must be man's ways, mine and yours, that change to conform to His. The presence and the effects of sin coming between us and God need to be removed. That's the disharmony. That's the conflict. That must be removed. We need a thorough reconciliation by forgiveness of what is past and righteousness to come. And only Jesus could achieve that reconciliation. He knows no sin himself, but he came as a man, a baby, a child. There is a sense in which you look at that. We can't see him physically, of course. Just think upon it, the face of a baby, there in that manger, is in a sense the face of God speaking to man. Knowing no sin, but all in order to take our sin upon himself, unto the cross, from the very beginning, that's what he was about. In order to offer that one sacrifice for sin, to achieve the effect that we need. Every one of us need that reconciliation. It's only in Jesus that peace may be found in God. And it's that peace that the angels proclaimed when he was born. And any thought given to his birth must again bring to the fore the peace that God provides for man in his Son Jesus. And it is only for that peace that Jesus came. Yes, there is so much else that confuses it going on around us today, isn't there? We must drive on beyond the point that simply that God gave his Son and say, why did he give his Son? For peace to man. An immense gift in our immense need. And all the other things that many people would pay attention to try and resolve in society, those things depend utterly upon this peace with God. If they are to be healed or renewed or recreated. But the angels began with glory and then spoke of peace. But I also want to put it this way, peace and glory. You see, if men may now have such peace, although in our very nature we are opposed to God, if we can have such peace, what must our response be? There is the proclamation of peace. In this child there is peace from God to man. Now what are you going to do about it? And the angels show us. Yes, they cried glory to God first, but they did so in the knowledge of the message they brought, which was peace. They knew that God had just given his own peacemaker to man. They saw this great work of peace. And it's for that that they praise God on this occasion. It's for that that they praise his glory and speak of it. That's the angels. Speaking of this amazing work of God towards men, the angels desire to look into these things. They are fascinated, they are astonished by what God has done for you and for me. How much more then should men respond in praise? This way has now been opened to us. It wasn't for the angels, and they praise God. But it is for us. And what do we do with it? Ought we not to praise God and give him glory because Jesus came as he did that night? The shepherds show us what to do. They came away from the sight of the child, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And so much more still should you, if you have received this peace. I've spoken for a moment about men at large. All men should praise God that this gift is before them. But if this gift has been applied into your heart, if you have received and trusted in this peace, surely every day you should be rejoicing and praising God. Seeing beyond all the frustrations, the anxieties, the puzzles of daily life. I'm a man, I know these things too. The peace has come upon men. To think that God has set his pleasure upon you. You make profession of faith. That's what that says. I believe his pleasure is on me. He has given me that faith that makes it possible to please him. Hebrews 11. course, that surely is not just at Christmas. Every day to rejoice and praise God that Jesus has come amongst us as he did on that day. And that is for us. But you know, there are crowds around who are thinking in some way Christmas. They may give a nod in the direction of the birth of Jesus. Can we be the ones who would try and downplay such a momentous occasion? There are all those carols and everything, and even we discover the loudest opponent of Christianity in the UK today likes to sing carols. And you might think they're little more than routine. Something you like to do and join in with once a year. But there are people there who take these opportunities, make these opportunities, and they're genuinely seeking to communicate Jesus at that rare opportunity when they have with other people coming in. We may say there's a strange emphasis on the birth of Jesus when we are told that the gospel is that Christ was crucified, his death. But they're still using the words of Scripture to drop words into the ears of needy people. Let's face it, more people do come to church to hear those words. The words of Scripture. And if we have any problem with that, are we going out to give them those words where they are? We have perhaps ourselves been, or we know of folk for whom Christmas seems especially painful. Feeling the loss of loved ones, or other hurts that are reminded so vividly at such an occasion. Because there is some sense, a vague sense for so many, that it is about something better than that pain. Do they have the message of this peace? In the light of such things, and there is so much more, I fear that we have failed too often. We have failed to keep this amazement of that night of the birth of Jesus. That night in the field. That night when they saw there in the manger the one that was promised to them. The shepherds were amazed. They glorified and praised God for anyone to hear. The angel just couldn't stop. There was a multitude, an army of the heavenly host, wanting to praise God for what he had done towards men. Have we kept that amazement? From the beginning of his life on earth, Jesus was about bringing peace and hope and light amongst men. What are we doing with that? We have no scriptural authority to set a special service for the event of the birth of Jesus. But there is surely every encouragement that each one of us who trusts in that born Jesus, every one of us should be setting the agenda for the world around as to praise and glory unto God for what he has done. I see there shepherds who were so taken with this that they could not resist telling about it, praising God about it. When we speak of the peace of God, the goodwill of God, his good pleasure towards men, wrapped up in the gift of his Son Jesus, how can we be so restrained? In life itself, not just at Christmas. And I return then to that question. It's possible that when the Jews asked Jesus, asked Zechariah and God through him a question about their fast, it may have been because they were weary of it. And some might say, well, I'm weary of all this business about Christmas that's going on. But not so many would be asking for that reason. More often, we'd ask, hear the question, what's wrong with it? It's good to have time with family. It is that opportunity, isn't it? It's good to have time to enjoy good things. What's wrong with it? Well, as it happens, that is precisely God's question to the Jews. Think about what's wrong with what you're doing. Is it for me? For me? And if we hear that question, are you fully open to the possible, even the probable answer? Does anything we do reach the praise of which God is worthy for the sending of his Son? Surely not. Oh yes, we can give thanks for the long way that God has brought us. We must give thanks and praise, and there is no end of joy that should be given and returned to God for what he has done. But yet, let us examine. Let us press on that foundation. I don't for a moment mean to suggest that enjoying good things, food, family, gift exchanges, whatever you call it, don't suggest that's wrong. We read Paul on that not so long ago, that all things are given to us to give thanks. Nor do I say that avoiding those popular ways of doing things is wrong. Some may feel that that is the best way. But what we are required to do is to ask why. And I would caution you also at this point to be very careful that you don't first think of those other people who you think are doing it wrong. Can God deal with you today about this? Why do Christmas? Or why not do Christmas? How to do Christmas? But I want to take you to Christmas, meaning the birth and the arrival of Jesus amongst men. All mankind needs that Christmas. And through everything else, why do you do what you do? Through everything else, where is this praise and glory to God for his peace toward me in the gift of his Son Jesus? Where is my praise and glory to God for dealing with my greatest need, that I might come to him? How easily do I forget that in Jesus, God is with us. In the Gospel of Matthew, he is Emmanuel, God with us. He gives peace. And I close by asking, if you know that peace that the angels announced. If not, let me remind you today that there is a real meaning to Christmas. Jesus was born. He was born in order to die for your sin, if you will trust in him and his death. But then, do you know that peace? If you know that peace, be as the angel. Be as the shepherd. Make use of Tuesday this week. You have more than enough reason to sing glory to God. And on Tuesday this week, the world around might just be at a place in their lives when they might just hear you a little better. I know there's so much more to be said. But it's all there. When the angels said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Will you sing His glory? Will you glorify and praise God for all those things that you have heard and seen? Let that be your Christmas. Let that be the story of your life for the sake of Christ and His Father who sent Him. Let us pray together.